These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery and Luke Fitzgerald.
Legacies are on the line, but they still have to go and win the competition after.
Yeah, it's only quarter final.
But I do think that it's going to be seriously, seriously important for them that they don't overhype it like they did last year. They punched themselves out after 25 minutes.
I think we're past that, aren't we? It's mad, like it's so hyped. I don't think it could be more.
No, but you just it's the assassin mindset. It's delivering the violence with a calm head, and you've got to be able to do that against La Rochelle. You can't punch yourself out.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
The international drug trade is robust, it's resilient, and it's constantly expanding. So the cartels will use every kind of means possible to get their product to the market. And that means like things like light aircraft coming in under the radar to little airfields around Ireland is nothing new. Using chemicals to transform cocaine into charcoal, or transporting several tons of the stuff across the Atlantic in flimsy homemade submarines. They will literally do anything they can to get the product to market because the demand is there.
Today on the Indo Daily, how the Kinahans and other cartels are smuggling drugs into Ireland.
This quiet, remote airfield in Abishrule in County Longford is the place that was used by a transnational organised crime gang to land a substantial quantity of cocaine into the country.
Over €1 million worth of cocaine was seized at the airport, while almost €7 million worth of cannabis was recovered at a warehouse in the village of Ballyhale. An Uzi submachine gun and ammunition were also recovered in a separate search in Dublin.
2022 is certainly on course to be another record year for drug seizures in Ireland. But the reality is that it is what has been seized is just a drop in the ocean, a very small amount of what is actually coming into the country. And yes, it means that the likes of the Kinahan cartel are still out there and still in business.
I'm Tabitha Monaghan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm speaking to Irish Independent special correspondent Paul Williams. Paul, €8.4 million worth of drugs was seized in Longford earlier this month. It's an example of how innovative gangs have had to become to get the drugs to market.
Well, they are. And that was a shipment of cocaine that's worth €8.4 million. But what it illustrates is that the cocaine and the drug trade in general is as resilient as ever, because the demand and supply chain is as resilient and as strong as ever. One of the things I think that created a lot of debate was the lengths to which criminal gangs and cartels are going to get their product to the market. As long as there's demand, the product will always find its way to the market. But actually using private airfields or airfields around Ireland with small aircraft is nothing new. In fact, Christy Kinahan, when he was starting off in the business, himself and John Cunningham, I remember writing about this, makes me feel terribly old, but over 20 years ago, they were used to fly into Weston Airfield and they used to drop the stuff out of a light aircraft into Slade Valley. And there was evidence of where people had spotted something being thrown out of an aircraft. When the police finally got there, you could see the evidence that big heavy crates had been dropped from a great height and 4x4 vehicles had come in and taken it away. That is one of the, and that has been happening ever since. So yes, as they are constantly looking at ways to get large consignments to market. And that was an €8.4 million consignment. We've seen in recent times how innovative and experimental or adventurous, particularly the Mexican and the Colombian cartels, have become in trying to get their product to market. But like you saw last year, where over €30 million euros worth of cocaine came in a ship from South America to Rotterdam, disguised as charcoal.
Do they? They have to make it look like charcoal. So I assume they have to use a lot of chemicals to be able to do that. And then I assume they cannot sell it in that capacity. Then it can't be black gold.
You know, everybody going who's taking cocaine from Colombia, they all have black noses instead of white noses. Yeah, but when you analyze this and look at it, they use this scientist to basically disguise it as charcoal. But they then have to use other chemical substances and compounds to transfer it back from being charcoal to cocaine. Now, the whole issue about that is that people, the one psychological thing about cocaine is that cocaine is very white and everyone associates it with cleanliness. But actually what people are taking up their noses is a toxic cocktail of pure poison, sludge, because of all these chemical processes that have been used to disguise this stuff. But it does illustrate, you know, the level and the lengths to which they will go to get their product to market. Because I said to you before, you know, the European market is growing exponentially all the time. It is a huge and thriving market for the Colombians and the Mexicans. Like, they've been using in recent years very poorly built submarines, which are not designed to cross the Atlantic. They've also converted, say, trawlers and other kind of ships. And now what they're doing is, and there have been quite a few of these seized with 50, 60 million euros worth of coke at a time, but high quality coke, 80, 90% purity. Mm-hmm. But some of these ships and these submarines, which are manned by the way, by people way down the food chain who are prepared to risk their lives to go on this rickety little boat across the Atlantic. It's incredible what they do. But they're rigged with explosives now so that in the event that a navy from some of the European Union countries intercepts that ship, the guys see them coming, they will dive overboard knowing that they'll be picked up and just set off the explosion. You know, it's become a really dangerous, but it is part of a very, very sophisticated supply chain, and they're going to every length possible. So as soon as, say, for example, they discover about charcoal, say they start looking at charcoal, every shipment of charcoal is watched coming into Rotterdam port or into European ports now. And that was an Irish operation. That was all meant, by the way, I should have said, that 30-odd million was meant for the Irish market. It was also, the operation was mooted and controlled by An Garda Síochána, which is why when it was found, it was brought back over here.
You said earlier that the European drug industry is massive. Where do Kinahan's fit into that now? And since the crackdown in April, has their industry or their cartel started to crumble at all?
They are. It has taken decades to build the Kinahan cartel's distribution and supply network into one of the biggest and most sophisticated in the world. But it's only one of the biggest and most sophisticated in the world because it is in partnership with the other major drug cartels across the world, the biggest criminal organizations in the world. So anything that takes decades to build, this kind of very elaborate, sophisticated, complex network, takes a long time to pull asunder. On the other side, the Kinahans are on their last legs. It is only a matter of time before Daniel and his daddy and his brother are going to find themselves incarcerated. However, they still control or are part of one of the world's most sophisticated and complex drug supply networks. As soon as they're taken out of the picture, others will replace them. That kind of system, it is like the distribution system, the global distribution system for any other product that is in big demand. There will always be a way of supplying it to the market and getting it there and the logistics to get it there. What the police are saying here is that they, because of the pressure the Kinahans are under, they have been involved in the process of reorganising themselves and franchising their operation, as you said. But the franchising means that they're still getting the cut of the action as it comes through. The problem they have is that on the ground, if some gang decides to rip them off, they're going to be having greater difficulty. They don't have the same army of thugs to go around shooting people and murdering people like they had before, because there's something like 70-odd of them in prison for very serious crimes, from drug trafficking, money laundering, attempted murder, conspiracy to murder and murder. So most of their hitmen are taken off the street, so they don't have that same power. But in a franchise operation, they can still get their cut of the action, probably with a little bit less risk for them as well. And that has certainly been seen. But I know it's a side issue to what we're talking about, but the Kinahans are not going to survive this. Just to reassure our listeners that they're not going to survive this. They're on the way to the end.
Who supplies the Kinahans with the drugs? Have they had to increase production in order to meet the demand?
Oh no, the production in South America has gone through the roof because demand has gone through the roof. There is no way of quantifying the level of production. There is only way of estimating. There is no way of quantifying the amount of it on the European market. But some law enforcement people will tell you who are close to the bone with all of this, they estimate that the market has doubled year on year for the past number of years. And I think last year, Michael O'Sullivan, the former assistant commissioner who was in charge of MAOC, the international agency, the marine maritime agency that coordinates our waters, the Atlantic waters, in trying to catch these guys, estimated that it was had risen about 13 billion. But there is no way of actually qualifying that, because many years ago, there's an international hypothesis that law enforcement intercept 10% of the drugs coming into a particular market at a particular time. We know that that is not true.
Do you think it's less?
Oh, I think it could be way less. There is no empirical way of actually, for example, how many thousands of shipments have the Kinahans brought in here before they started causing mayhem? You have to remember as well, Tabitha, that during the recession or the austerity period, which is how the Gardaí were caught with their trousers down around their ankles when the Regency took place, let's face it, there was no intelligence being gathered on these guys. There was no proactive operational stuff going on like you've seen since the Regency, and the police have been doing a brilliant job in catching these guys. So it was all operating and nobody knew what was going on. So John Gilligan, famously, one of our most famous gangsters, his operation was into its 60th or 65th shipment when they were caught. Now, that's an awful lot less than 10%.
Paul, when you see big busts like we saw earlier in the month, does that make any difference to the cartels at all?
One of the indicators of how robust and resilient the drug trade is that an 8.4 million cocaine seizure in August is huge. But there was no obvious commensurate reduction in the supply of cocaine in the market. Cocaine and cannabis are available and widely available in every little village and town in Ireland. Now, that speaks of a vast amount of the stuff coming into the country with a justifiable estimate that the industry in its totality is worth well in excess of 1 billion euros a year here. So when you didn't see a commensurate drop in the amount of cocaine available on the streets, that tells you that the business is absolutely thriving.
But it's also been a record year for drug seizures.
It has, absolutely. We did be doing some analysis here in the Irish Independent. If we looked at all the figures that have been reported of major drug shipments since the start of the year, and it would suggest that they're heading for yet again another record year. Last year was a record year and the year before. And the Garda seizures are jumping year on year. Like so far, up until today, when you look at the axiomatic figure, I think is 47,235,000. So far this year, 20 million euros has been cocaine. Another about the same, just less than 20 million, is cannabis. And worryingly as well is 5.6 million of heroin has been seized this year. It's vast, it's resilient, and it seems to be unstoppable.
I think the big takeaway from this is these seizures are just considered part of business.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, it's well-known fact, modus operandi, and I know Daniel Kinahan has done this. Daniel Kinahan, through the drug business, people in the drug business would tell you that they would, say, have four or five shipments coming in at a time because they were a massive organisation. So he would nominate one of the gangs who are importing his stuff and he'd tip off the police. He'll organise a way of tipping them off. And they tip him off and say, Paul Williams has a big shipment coming in, because he looks at me as much, you're dispensable. And what it does, it keeps maybe the people, the law enforcement people he's talking to abroad or somewhere else, keeps them happy that you're giving them product. It makes everybody happy because they've got a seizure. But the whole point of it is that 80% of what he sent out, as in the four other shipments, still get to the market. And they can carry that loss because it's not a major loss to them.
And where does Ireland fit within a European context there in terms of cocaine consumption?
Well, one of the figures is that we are, I think, the third per capita, the third biggest consumer of cocaine.
We're well up there then.
The Irish paddy is very much in love with his white Colombian marching powder. We all know what the cocaine trade in particular does. Cocaine trade ultimately drives organised crime activity. It drives the number of gangland murders. It drives a whole host of ancillary criminal activities. Like, you have drug dealers in every village and town in Ireland now. You have a huge amount of drug-related intimidation going on out there. Not to mention the addiction problems. And it really is, it really is a drug that we cannot really consider decriminalising it.
Do Gardaí have any chance of stemming the tide on this at all?
No, it's like what they're doing is it's a maintenance programme. Like, we use the analogy quite a bit of the garden where you have unruly weeds continuously growing in it, or briars coming in across the wall trying to engulf your plants. You know, it is about maintenance.
But so they never want a group to get as big as the Kinahans again,
yeah, but
essentially.
Like that, inevitably that's going to happen again. But you are right. They're trying their best to maintain the problem. This problem is never going to go away. It has become normalised in our society. It is a fact of life. And the fact of life is that huge number of our people in our country, huge number of Irish people, on a regular basis, are abusing illegal narcotics.
My thanks to Irish Independent special correspondent Paul Williams. I'm Tabitha Monaghan, and today's episode was produced by Mary Carroll, researched by Garrett Mulhall, with sound design by Gavin Hennessy. Archive clips from RTE News, Virgin Media News and independent.ie. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow and leave us a review.